Cord to this computer. All right. Welcome everybody to the Pony Development Sync for Wednesday, April 12th. Woo! And we just had Paul to it. Awesome. And we just had Paul disappear again, because that's what happens when Paul joins. He appears and then he disappears. Boom, boom. You weren't here last week, so I don't know that that was a thing.
Apparently that's a thing.
it's a thing. It's a thing. So last week we tried to get through a bunch of issues that we have open, right? So we want to pick up with that again from last week, Sylvan.
Sure.
Go back through some of these. Let's see. Let's start here. I think this is a... Okay, so in... Let's see. Okay, that's Benoit. Let's see this one. Okay. Right. Let's start with this one's been open for a while. Let's see. Do we have? Yes. 1513.
All right.
This was one that I first reported a while ago, and we're like, "That's odd. That's funky." And then Omar narrowed it down quite a bit.
Cool.
From that. And Benoit commented, it's probably a general, another case of a general issue with tuples not having a type descriptor, or tuples, depending on how you want to say it.
Both are correct.
Not according to some people. according to me, they're both fine, but yes. So, yeah, just wanted to, we could verify that if that's the case or whatnot, and then mark it as such or whatever else. So,
okay.
Sylvan, you're probably well disposed for that.
If you instead, I'm looking at Omar's comments on 14 January. Ah, interesting. When he makes it a union type. And unboxing inbox.cn line 45, which means the unchanged object if t primitive is null. Indeed it does. The T primitive should not be null. The last line, in your example, let op1 equals counter.add 10. Which is a CMRDT counter. Which has an op. Plus, which then gives a tuple. I don't think that should require a type descriptor at all, actually. That's extremely interesting.
Oh.
That looks like it should be some more straightforward thing. Have we tried this recently?
No, I don't think we have tried this recently.
Okay.
Why? You think something has happened that would fix this?
Not precisely, no. But I'm about to find out.
Oh, really? This sounds mysterious.
Yeah.
Mysterious or
stupid, I think, is the term, the word you're looking for. I think probably we should keep talking about other issues and then we have a quick go at compiling. Because this doesn't look like basically there is no union type that's going on CMRDT counterop, so that should be passed directly as a tuple, which means it should pattern match directly. And there shouldn't be any boxing happening in the first place. So the fact that it's getting to gen unbox is inherently problematic.
Okay. All right. Let's check. Yeah, most of the ones we're going to do here in the beginning, Sylvan, are all ones where you weren't around last week. So
sure. Yeah.
We passed over ones that were probably Sylvan, either Sylvan or Benoit things. So not that one though. Let's go up here. Let's see. This is one where Joe wanted to get your input. So how about we just pause for a moment?
Okay, just a second here. So it does indeed still crash. It asserts on in gen assign cast. It says we're expecting the R value to be a struct.
That's,
and it isn't. And indeed it isn't what the actual poontang. Okay, I'm going to have to dig into this one because something is wrong in a strange way. Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, next one is 1697.
Why is a subtype of X? X consume Y. The second example, A of XY equals A of XY, is obviously works because there's that's invariant. B of XY equals B of XY doesn't work. That should work.
And you'll see Joe's comment, which was the he wanted to check with you.
Odd that that compilation doesn't terminate for you, Sean. That is really weird that that should occur.
Well, how about this? I can't actually say it never terminates. It did not terminate within a period of time
before. That you found reasonable. Yes, it's the same thing.
That I found reasonable and then control C.
Yeah, that's clearly the same thing. For values of never that include, I'm bored now.
I think my patience for things like that, for small little programs like that, extends to about 2 minutes.
That's much longer than mine. I'm impressed.
Well, you can walk away and come back.
Okay, so I agree with Joe. I'll just put a comment to that effect.
Yep. Okay, and the seg fault on this is, let's see, here, Sylvan C doesn't believe this is tuples related, going to be looking at it. I'm leaving the needs discussion during. The one before this, Sylvan, I'm going to lead the needs discussion during sync tag on it.
Okay.
Because you're sometimes bad about looking at the things you say you're going to look at.
That's true.
So then I'll bring it back up again. But the infinite recursion one, you put in a comment on comment on that one. Good. Okay. Okay. I took the tag off. Okay. So our next one is, 1698, right?
1690.
Joe self-assigned. Let's just verify real quick that this is something that Joe's right. This is definitely something we should support.
Y is an X and an N ISO, where X is a Y. Ah, interesting. Yep, we should support it.
Good. Okay.
There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It should work. Interestingly, this is one of these ones that keeps cropping up with these recursive type definitions. Just so no one thinks that's a huge problem with Pony, it isn't. Recursive type definitions are constantly edge cases in compilers for many, many languages. In my other life, some of this has come up recently. So, yeah, this should be handled, is the short version.
Okay. Oh, boy, this one has a... This is one that I tagged and we've never talked about at all. Hold on. It's 1719. I don't think I ever took a look at it other than slapping the tag on it. Like 25 days ago and then 14 days ago when I realized we'd overlooked it and then we never actually got to it yet.
Oh, dear.
So here, and I'm also, so that everybody else doesn't have to download the text file that he attached, I'm putting it in line here.
Okay, very nice.
So I guess two bugs. The first is the make file applies the MCX16 flag on
unwinding stuff comes directly from libunwind. So that looks suspiciously like libunwind is not installed.
Okay. We don't have that as a requirement for folks.
I was unaware that it was possible to have an installation of Linux without libunwind.
Well, that's sort of like we had the one where we fixed the problem. I don't know if you saw it for somebody on Fedora where you have to install libatomics. Have you seen that? Did you see that one?
I did, but I tried to block it out of my mind.
Well, so that was the thing. I was really surprised when that came about. So, yeah. Okay, so...
Similarly here, where exception isn't defined, I'm a little bit confused that it's managing to include unwind.h and continue with compilation, where unwind.h is something is...
What is ARCH64 anyway?
64-bit ARM.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. But see, I don't mind potentially looking foolish in public. And I never Googled it. I meant to.
Fair enough. So I'm not totally certain that this is a missing libunwind, but it looks suspiciously like that's the case.
Like the header's installed, but it can't find the library? Or it's not trying to, well, we're not specifically trying to link to the, what?
Wait, no, I mean, it's if there is an unwind.h, it seems to not contain what's expected there, in that things like unwind exception, unwind state, unwind context, fundamentally required. Just want to check. So if dev POSIX is platform is POSIX based, it is saying on line 7 include unwind.h.
So, and it looks like when we added the MCX,
I believe
MCX
Arch 64 should indeed take MCX 16. Because what that's saying is we would like to use a 16-bit compare and exchange. But perhaps we're not using that on ARM, actually. That's possible.
Okay, let's see. Polyline, Pony C.
Ah.
So we set it anytime something is 64 bits right now. That's definitely true.
Okay.
That's on line 100 of the make file. We set it on both the build and the linker. So, okay. Yep. Okay. I feel like that came up recently from something I found with somebody else, and I had it. I opened a thing to have that added, and I feel like Theo added it, but I could be completely and utterly wrong.
Well, it should be set for 64-bit x86 for sure, but it shouldn't be set for 64-bit ARM. On the other hand, although he's saying that 64-bit ARM builds fails, that is very true. As far as I know, he's also the first one to try it. I've never tried building on 64-bit ARM before.
We started with 32-bit, did we? Oh, yes. Yeah, we did. That's right, yeah. Oh, and no, that step flag's been around forever. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that this is sort of new territory in terms of supporting 64-bit ARM. We haven't done that before. I'm keen to do so.
Okay. So I'm going to open an issue here. Okay. Right. Turn off MSX for AARCH 64. Currently we set on any 64-bit platform. Should only set on Intel 64-bit. I think that's reasonable. Yes, we should say right now we only set it if it's the Intel 64-bit. Yes?
It depends. No, not necessarily. I think there are other cases. So it depends on the 64-bit platform whether or not we should be setting MCX-16.
Okay, so I would say right now we should... currently set on a 64-bit platform. We should not set on let's do the smallest thing possible and not set it on ARM 64-bit and go from there, right?
Perfect.
Let's see, I tried to overreach.
Now, I'm looking through the lib unwind ARCH 64 Google attempt, and there is some noise out there about libunwind might lack ARCH 64 support. But there's some other noise that looks like maybe it has been added. So I'm not clear what the state is there. But in general, this is an sort of an open port. This is not a port that someone's actually done. This is just someone having a go. And hey, I love that. That's fantastic. But this isn't so much we broke it as we never built it.
Yeah. Okay, one more. By the way. As far as we know, you are the first person to try Pony on the ARCH 64, so might be a little bumpy.
Indeed.
We appreciate your help in solving issues that arise and apologize in advance. Okay. All right. I think that's a good place for that right now. We're waiting for stuff back on that. We got an issue open for the other one, right? There, which should be good. and on to our next issue, I think.
Cool.
Okay. This is a fun one. 1734.
1734.
Let's see.
Mac ports. Well, good luck.
Well, so we have Mac ports in our README, right?
Okay.
If we're going to say Mac ports, good luck.
No, I don't mean that in for them. But, I mean for us.
Right.
Good luck to us.
Okay. So I mean, well, I mean, I think it's a reasonable thing for us to say. Do we want to say that you can install by hand, or you can do homebrew and just say if you're running with Mac ports, you're kind of on your own, or do we want to add Mac ports as a supported thing that we do? It looks like we support it now because it's in the README.
I see. Yeah.
Definitely a bit of a mess.
It's a mess. It's possible that this would be supportable. I just don't know enough about what the current state of Mac ports is, and I don't want to install Mac ports on any boxes because it does not play well with Homebrew, and or Homebrew doesn't play well with it, right? I don't want to blame either tool. They don't play nicely with each other. It's just a thing.
I have Homebrew too.
There's really, and just for the record, since that's a thing, there's nothing wrong with Mac ports at all. And if people prefer it, that's absolutely fine. I think it's really a question of ironing out where we should be invoking LLVM config for different versions of LLVM config.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much everything we have in that file right now, in the make file,
sorry, is that file specific.
Is homebrew specific because, I mean, in the end, we have to be, I mean, our CI uses homebrew. So effectively, as we've stated before, that's really our supported solution. Anything else is best effort.
Yeah.
And we're probably going to break shit.
Yeah.
Stuff. I didn't curse there. I didn't curse, folks. Nope. No, I did not.
I do want to support Mac ports as best we can, but I seriously don't have a box that I can do that on.
I don't either right now. I sent an email just now to the dev and user list seeing if anybody has Mac ports and if they would be able to assist with this.
Cool.
Because it certainly we could use some debugging help on that.
I suspect it's really down to the block of LLVM config makefile fun that happens between around lines 161 and 207 in the makefile.
Can you add a note for that?
Because
you're right, and no one's going to remember it unless we write it down there.
Here we go.
Okay. Next one up is also a cannot install. So yeah, fun. Where did we get to this? Uh, Oh, yeah. So remember that thing I said about Libatomics?
Oh, no, again?
No, that is that issue here.
Oh, right. So, all right, so I left a comment on 1734. What's the next one?
This is 1756, where installing Libatomics seemed to solve Russell's problem. So the question that I really had from this is do we want to add a note for folks to the README that says, hey, this could happen? Or I feel like, better yet, like our README and install stuff is getting really long, you know? Another option would be is we have the FAQ site on the website now where I want to start compiling frequently asked things. So if you were using Fedora, this might come up. It could possibly live there. Or we could try to figure out somehow and add Libatomics in if needed. But given I don't have a Fedora box, unless somebody does, I don't know how we would go about figuring this out. Also, I don't know if anybody else has used GCC 7 yet.
Seven? No.
Seven. Well, this could be a GCC 7 thing and not a...
Is this GCC 7?
Fedora Rawhide installs GCC 7, yes.
I'm absolutely certain it will be a GCC 7 thing.
Okay.
In that case.
Sylvan C thinks this is a GCC 7 issue. I wonder if Travis has GCCs. I wonder if we can install.
We can install it for sure.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to leave this as marked for discussion. So if somebody doesn't pick it up this week, we can. I think it's GCC 7 issue. We need to do a Travis install run with GCC 7.0 and see what goes boom. Actually, so I'm gonna open another issue actually for that, right? Is there any reason if things don't go boom with GCC 7 to not compile with it on Trusty, other than, you know, every time we touch things, it could break something. I guess it's just we should try a Travis run with GCC 7 and see if it goes boom. Rather than doing like, hey, we're going to update Travis, because we can update Travis on a branch and go ahead and see what happens, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, GCC's current this is not as bad as the old GCC 2.95 versus GCC 3.x problem that plagued us for so many years. But it is becoming a little bit problematic again, the way that GCC is changing the way compilation works out from under people. Don't really know how that's going to work out, and how, like, we're not the only project that's struggling a little bit with new GCC versions making it difficult to continue compiling. So not really sure what's going to happen with that.
Okay, so here we go. Hold on. And place GCC 6 with GCC 7, replace all, SGN, I test what happens when we compile with GCC 7. So I'm opening the pull request right now. So who knows, maybe, just maybe, it might be done before the end of this call.
Wow.
Well, you never know. I mean,
all things are possible.
All things are possible. And I should slap a do not merge on this.
Yes.
Do not merge. All right. But at least we'll find out. And what's the issue that this is actually, I want to reference 1756. See, 1756. Okay. All right. That seems like a good place for that one. I'm going to leave the discussion during sync. So in case we lose, so we don't lose track of this, we can always pull it off later. Which would mean next one is, well, we can skip over this, the one I created for style guide, but we should have more folks around for when we do that.
Okay.
Okay, here's one. So we have this, I believe we have this PR open, which is related to this. So it's for its sleep for one nanosec, it's 1822. 1822. Yes, 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 I forgot. And hey, Paul's here. So
1822 exists?
1822.
Yes. Issue or PR?
No, PR.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. PR 1822.
Oh, really? Really? OSX? Really?
Well, Windows does this too.
No, Windows is a different and worse problem.
Look, it's sleep in zero. As far as I'm concerned, it's the same problem. End of story. I know it's not really the same problem, but look.
It's not.
Look, life is too, there are too many things in life not to merge those together into one thing.
So I'm not actually sure this is the problem anymore. because, so I tried NanoSleep Zero and Spotlight took a really small amount of time compared to Linux, so I just thought that was the issue. But then I tried on another non-Sierra machine, and it takes the same amount of time. So yeah. I don't see why before Sierra we didn't have this problem.
So I changed a bunch of stuff under the hood, and if this works on Sierra,
so what? Wait a minute.
Slop one is gonna
ignore the slop one ones. Okay. Yeah, people keep putting slop. Yeah, slop one is gonna result in really high CPU usage.
Yeah.
Period.
You're demanding that the operating system have essentially nanosecond resolution.
I remember one of the reasons why I marked this as like is this because now what people were reporting on Sierra with those with the default slop, right? Of 15 to 25 for CPU usage where theirs sits there, right? At about 15 to 25. That's different than what I get on El Capitan. But on El Capitan, I do bounce up to like 25% on a fairly regular basis. And I'm not sure that that's actually a bug, right? That could be normal for that level of, I have a timer and it needs to wake up.
Yep.
Like 25%. Now, what
every
worries
now and then it's going to use a little CPU, yes.
What worries me is that they're reporting that it's always like that with a 20 slop, and that seems to be a Sierra thing. Because I wouldn't expect it to always be 25. That strikes me as weird.
Is there an example app that's doing this?
Yes. 1787 is the issue that has it. And for me, this bounces around between using like basically no CPU to jumping up to like 33 for a moment and then dropping back down when I look at it in top on my box.
Okay.
They tried other slop values, but I'm ignoring those because, you know, slop of one, I expect it to use a ton of CPU. I just don't know how much. I figure if there's a problem, then it would show up across all of them. Maybe it's using more than slop one should use, but that would be related to whatever the default one would be.
Okay. So I'm on Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running that default one,
mm-hmm.
Running that thing, and it's happily printing stuff out,
mm-hmm.
climbing up. And I'm running about, come on, activity monitor, do your thing.
I think they were using top.
Sure.
Looks like top.
I used top as well, but top gives sometimes very strange results on OS X. And I'm getting about the same thing.
You're getting about 20%.
Flat, top is reporting lower.
Flat consistent or?
Yeah.
Now, would you expect that?
No.
Okay, good. All right. So we agree that Sierra is doing something weird.
Although, interestingly, with a higher resolution...
When I start to change those slot values...
No, not slot value. Okay. Higher resolution examination of CPU usage.
Uh-huh.
It's flicking up and down.
Okay.
So
that...
When I profiled that... Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go, Paul.
When I profiled that, it seemed to be from the work stealing thing. And the way the work stealing works is that if it's done nothing for like a billion cycles, then it's going to pause longer. But it's the first billion cycles where it pauses for zero that takes a lot of CPU.
Yeah, this could come back to the work stealing stuff that I've been looking at trying to fix. So that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point, and it could, I don't know, there could be something that's changed with that, because the work stealing...
If I run Pony Threads 1, I'm getting very similar behavior.
Okay. At which point, then, work stealing shouldn't be an issue?
Well, so what Paul is saying, I think, is a little bit different.
Okay.
What he's saying is that if you look in CPU.c...
Yeah, when it doesn't have any work, it does that sleep for a bit.
Yeah. It says, give me, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 million cycles. Well, it gives 10 million cycles worth, roughly, of hot spin.
Yeah. Which this should probably be triggering a lot. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, we're probably hot spinning a lot. Which... There's not really a fix to that except to make stuff less responsive, right?
Making stuff less responsive would make me less happy.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much paying a cost there. I mean, I looked at, so that is related to the work stealing stuff that I looked at. You remember I was doing that a couple months back, Sylvan, that we talked about it, where I was unable to come up with, so far, if for background for people who might be listening, ran into problems where we had a varied workload job that was on it, and we would get worse performance with lower amounts of work because of the amount of stuff that was going into work stealing. I spent a good amount of time working on the work stealing algo, trying to find a way that it would adjust itself so that it would efficiently use fewer CPUs. And not cause problems with stuff being swapped around, work stealing, with all of the stuff that comes from work stealing, and was unable to get it where it was both good for that and good for responding quickly to changes in terms of workload and being responsive. And yeah, I mean, that's basically, that comes down to, in part, the hot cycle stuff there that you're talking about, Sylvan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
now, on the other hand, that particular hot cycle stuff, 3 milliseconds, shouldn't be showing up very much, if that makes any sense.
Well, I mean, shouldn't this isn't this, oh wait, oh no, that's right, this one's designed to fire every 5 seconds, isn't it? Yeah, this timer, not, I was thinking it was every 5 milliseconds, because I think about everything in milliseconds now.
Yeah. So
yeah. So wait, so it was showing up a lot doing that, Paul?
Yeah.
That's...
Well, that's going to be because when you do that profiling, it measures CPU usage, not total runtime. So when you're waiting, when you're in the nano sleep, it doesn't count. So the only thing that code is doing is spinning and nano sleeping. So the only thing you're going to see is the spinning.
Good point.
That's sort of okay. I don't see a particularly fantastic improvement going to this nano sleep one. It's a little bit better. Sierra has also, I don't know if anyone else has this problem, but I have two test cases that never pass on Sierra. So that's fine.
I have one.
Signals Int and Net Broadcast.
Yep. That'll be them.
Yep.
Yep. We should probably figure that. Can you open issues for those?
Yeah, at some point.
That's what you said last time.
Yeah.
I don't have Sierra. Yeah. That's.
So even with this one nanosecond thing, I'm seeing a sort of a, let's get a lower resolution.
Okay. Let me ask you a question for a minute, Sylvan. If you were to change the slot value to 40, what would you expect to have happen?
Get a consistent 5%. The slot value to 40, I would expect essentially nothing to ever fire.
That's interesting.
Why?
Let me make sure it was 40 that I tried that with, because I played around with this at some point.
Because 40 is saying your resolution is so low, because base resolution is nanosecond resolution. So that's why 20 is typical, because that's millisecond resolution, right? 10 is microsecond, 20 is millisecond. So at 40, we're dealing with 1,000 second resolution. Which is, yeah.
What was the value that I had? I don't know.
The appropriate number that an operating system can deal with is millisecond resolution, right? Most operating systems simply don't deal with anything more precise. So with this nanosecond change, I'm seeing sort of a steady 5% CPU usage in Activity Monitor. The real CPU usage in top is, of course, much more up and down. It goes up to 7 and down to, can't find it in my list. Top, why do you hate me?
Go look for the thing that's moving a lot, maybe. Okay. I think I misremembered something, so that's cool.
All right, cool.
And I'm gonna leave my thing alone. Let's take. Okay, so I don't know. What are we saying?
Yeah, it's sort of 5 to 10 in top. That's a good question. What the hell are we saying? To be honest, this thing should be consuming no CPU, and certainly under El Capitan, it does consume essentially no CPU.
Well, it bounces; it's constantly bouncing around. It goes from like 2 to 15 to 3 to 30 to 2 to 50 to etc. Like that, it's bouncing around all.
It just depends on when top is snapping the measurement.
Yeah.
This is firing, what, after waits 5 seconds and then fires every 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay. So that just depends on that. What you're getting is top hitting the measurement when this thing goes off.
Because
top is going to be firing, and then you either get it or you don't get it. For example, if you change it out to a 5 second delay, you'll see that looks a bit different, if that makes any sense. So if it's 5 second, 5 second, then you'll see that it essentially doesn't show up until boom, it fires. Whereas on Sierra, even at 5 second, it's sort of consuming a constant 5 to 7%, just sitting there.
According to top, if top was to be believed, this is probably regularly using more CPU than Zoom.
What?
It says Zoom over here is using 20% of CPU.
Well, that's bad.
But it's a constant 15 to 20, whereas this is bouncing around all over the place for 1787.
Yeah. I think rather than this being a fixing it with a nanoseconds issue, I think this is something we need to fix with the way KQ on Sierra is handling timers. Because that's the actual issue.
Yeah.
Well, so rather than...
And it didn't seem like KQ was firing extra, was waking up more frequently than usual. Sorry. I don't think KQ was waking up the process more often than it should have.
Yeah?
I didn't see any spurious wake-ups from KQ. I think I'd have to check, but
yeah, I believe you, but it's not telling us. It could be something else. It certainly could be something else. But because, given that we have other issues, like KQ changed the way it handles signals in Sierra, which is to say it doesn't anymore, and some other stuff, I'm highly suspicious that we have some KQ issues. Need learning. You may very well be right that it's not the issue for this, but it seems also suspicious that it would be a change in nanosleep, given that even moving this to upping the nanosleep, or I tried dropping the busy slight cycle count to zero, and that didn't change the behavior either. So.
I mean, all the time is spent on the worker thread, not on the IO thread.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but it could be waking up the worker thread far more than it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Sylvan, I don't want to throw you under a bus here, okay?
Yeah.
But it is true that your reading of how edge triggering was supposed to work with EPOL was incorrect. So absolutely. I think it would behoove us to take a look at what's going on in KQ and make sure that there's not some, if you read the documentation this way, XYZ, if you read it that way, something else type thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that looking at this also in terms of KQ and the way signals are being handled.
Yeah.
The fact that signal handling doesn't on Sierra without a code change, but does on El Capitan, makes me very suspicious. I think if signals were broken across all of Sierra, someone would have noticed. Right?
Yes. Whereas
it's much more likely that it's broken the way that we're handling it.
Yep. And some other folks might be handling others. Okay, so So somebody opened a problem with the go runtime on Sierra 10.12 related to signals.
Oh dear. That's too bad. I mean,
it seems to be. Here's another one. Yes, it's signal handling. Oh no, that's on something else. Okay, never mind. Okay, so who knows? Could be, but we should definitely take a look into that.
Yeah,
right. I don't want to spend enough time to figure out whether those are real things that I saw or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so I update comment. Blah, blah, blah. Put the comment on it. We can take a look at it at some point, but. At this point, I'm going to lower this down to like priority low, because this isn't, and for what we know it's doing right now, it's not killing anyone, right?
Yeah.
It's a good thing to look into, but it's a low priority. I'm going to take the needs discussion that during sync off of it. Is there any, I think at this point then we'd probably just close pause, because it doesn't seem to.
It doesn't change the behavior for me to put in that extra 1 nanosecond of wait. It's exactly the same.
Would you agree with that, Paul? That based on what you said earlier, that we should change this? That I'd close this?
Have we lost Paul?
Well, he's still there, but he's muted.
I forgot to unmute. Yeah, I think that's fine. I think like there's a bigger underlying issue that this does not fix. It just makes it less worse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, unfortunately.
So yeah, I'm finally closing that.
We need to find and fix. We'll close. Okay. All right. Yay. We got halfway through so far. And it's 4:22. Before we continue on to the next one, does anybody, Theo, Gordon, or Paul, have anything that you would like to discuss?
No.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to discuss PR 1819.
1819. Ooh, that sounds like
a pick on Linux thing.
It's the pick on. Oh, pick. Okay, right. Yes, not pick on. sorry, I had a bad day yesterday with getting stuff to work on Linux, so that took on an entirely different meaning in my head. Right. Yes. Okay. So 1819.
Yeah, I mostly want to know if there really is a better way of doing this, because I agree this what I've done here is not the most robust thing. It could be done to check if we're using a GCC or not.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so Sylvan, a little bit of background on this is we decided last week that, see, it looks like that in general, if you're using GCC on Linux, we should be using PIC. Right, we should be using.
Why?
Because it seems to be that everybody using GCC is coming back with they need to turn PIC on, and they sometimes have odd little issues related to
it. Wait, slow
down.
Some
Linux distributions have GCC configured to automatically use PIC,
and some don't.
But GCC itself certainly doesn't enforce that, and a default build of GCC absolutely doesn't do that, because it's a performance hit. It's a 10-15% performance hit for many applications.
Okay,
you're talking about turning things into indirect calls that otherwise wouldn't be indirect. If you're lucky, you'll have something where you get enough indirect branch prediction where you're down to 5% of a performance hit. Okay, but that's still pretty serious. It's one of the reasons code is across the board slower on OS X than FreeBSD, when they're essentially the same operating system, is that OS X enforces that things are position independent code. So PIE is position independent executables, which require position independent libraries.
Okay, so you're saying we shouldn't do this. This was the compile with PIC on Linux if linker is GCC, which seemed to be coming back. But you're saying, no, we should not do this. Sylvan. Ah. He's not muted. Did England just get destroyed?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yep.
So well, England was not destroyed?
Don't think so. Either that or it was reconstituted suddenly. That was really weird. So I think the decision by by Linux distributions to start turning this on is one of these. It's taken on slightly mythic proportions what position independent code does. I think that
you can't be secure unless you're position independent. So
that would be the mythic proportion right there. Yes. I don't believe that security by attempted and somewhat predictable obscurity is very interesting. And I think giving up performance to get it is perhaps not the best decision. I think having the Pony compiler do this when it's not required is definitely not what I would like to have happen.
See what happens when you miss a sync meeting?
Yeah. I think if you're using a Linux distribution that's enforcing this, I think if we added a makefile flag where you could build it so that it would always invoke itself with --pic, that would be fine. And then people would be it would be fine if people wanted to build a distro for that platform that turned that on. I don't think we should be attempting to detect it, as it's functionally impossible. As Theo points out, saying, look, this is sadly about the best you can get for whether or not this is GCC. Yeah, that's totally true. And it's terrible because CC could be a symlink to anything. And in fact, there are places, some installations of Clang symlink GCC to Clang.
Oh, dear.
Yep. And many symlink CC to Clang. So we can't do that, even though that's sort of the closest we could get. I really do lean towards saying that it should be, if your platform only supports that, maybe we can detect this error message and say you need to give a nice error message. You need to invoke with --pick on your platform, or you can build Pony with this flag, or I don't know. Yeah, some kind of makefile option so that a package for, like, is there an example of which distros are doing this?
Ubuntu does this.
Ubuntu does it.
They yes. do? No, I don't think it's Ubuntu. I think it's Red Hat.
Red Hat. That sort of makes sense.
I use
Ubuntu. Maybe it was a different similar issue with GCC on Ubuntu.
Could well be. Yeah.
So we had the problem with Trusty and needing to use GCC5 to get anything to build for a while there. That could have been it. By the way, it can't seem to find the GCC7 package for the Ubuntu toolchain RREST, so my test failed.
There may well not be one.
Trusty, you guys keep going, sorry.
Okay. Just so you know, GCC7 is not out yet. So there may well not be one unless you find some experimental repo. It's still considered a development branch at 7.0.1.
Okay, so we have... Wait, no, so... Yes, it looks like it doesn't exist in that yet. Toolchain test builds. Keep going. Well, it says it's there.
So the other option, of course, is to eliminate our dependency at runtime on GCC by using LLD, which is a very attractive option, as LLD seems to be getting closer and closer to being really quite good. I believe that it's usable.
You mean link time dependency, right?
Sorry?
You said runtime dependency.
I mean the runtime of the compiler.
Okay, good. That's what I thought you meant, but I wanted to make sure, because otherwise I was going to end up having a very different conversation with you than you were.
That's very fair, yes. yeah. And actually, the more I think about it, the more I think maybe it's the right time to jump in and have a go at that. First of all, LLD is crazy fast, like a lot faster than gold. It's something where we could compile LLD as a library directly into PonyC, so we would no longer be shelling out to link. And it works on Windows, and it works on ELF. And the place where it doesn't work, which is OS X, we can happily continue to use the linker because LD on OS X never gives us any problems at all, because it's very consistent. So I'm tempted to say that the right thing to do is to look at using LLD as a library inside PonyC.
Open an issue.
Okay.
Open an issue. Boom. Boom, issue. Yeah, and add LD gold Linux instructions. Oh, look, there's a pull request for adding the LD ones. Yes, LD gold instructions, because the LD gold thing comes up on a fairly regular basis. All right, so we got through some more stuff. We have still plenty more because, oh no, things, they happen. All right, yeah, and
hopefully we have some LLVM4 support sometime soon. That would be good too.
Yeah, I haven't had much time to work on it, but I hope to have a little bit this week.
Yes, that will be awesome. I'm not trying to pressure you, Gordon. More just some words that I can't think of right now. I've been writing documentation all week, so I can't find words anymore for things that I want to express.
No worries.
I've used up my word quota. My word quota is gone.
Hey, so Sylvan.
Yeah.
Question for you. The bug that we have, which we have an issue for, that you said you figured out why it happens, right?
Which one?
The one that I opened one for, the ISO to val.
Yes, indeed. I now know why that happens. I know why there is a memory leak.
Okay. Are you planning on fixing that anytime soon personally?
Yep.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if you're not, then please document it so we can get it in as an issue and somebody else can fix it, because that's a big one.
It is. I think I should probably be the one to do that.
Okay. So in a week or two, if you haven't, I'm going to bug you to write up the issue.
For which?
To write up an issue so that somebody else could be able to take it off.
I think I should. I'm sorry. Did I miss something? I think no. I should probably be the one to handle that.
Right. I'm just saying that I really want to see that fixed. So if you don't fix it in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to bug you so that somebody else can handle it. And by somebody else, I mean me. I will find the time. The levels of pain that can accidentally introduce into your life when using Pony, especially if you're us at Sentence, is really big. Yes.
Yeah.
And, oh, good Lord, I spent so long chasing that around. We've triggered it four or five times now already.
Yep. And I know where it is now, and I will happily go through it with you in detail and explain to you what it is.
Yeah. Well, you did sort of, but yeah, more of one. I mean, yeah, in my absolute favorite world, you know, you would be the one who fixes it, but you have a life and you have things to do, right? So I can, so basically when I have stuff to do for the next 2 weeks, but once that is passed, if you haven't taken care of it by then I'm going to ask you to open the thing up regularly. Cool. And we can do it. Otherwise, if you don't, then I'm going to try and work on either the work stealing stuff or what's the word for that? Oh, right, the back pressure, generalized pressure.
Back pressure. God damn. Yeah.
Yes. Where I thought I had it working, but I didn't.
Yeah. So the three things that I want most out of Pony right now are me fixing this bug, us figuring out generalized back pressure, and Albert, I don't know if anyone knows about Albert Netmicken, who's at Uppsala University, who's working with Tobias Rigstad, who's one of the professors over there, on introducing during behavior garbage collection to Pony. And with those three things, I would be so happy.
That could be cool.
Indeed, indeed. There's a new LLVM stack map technique that I think is what we want.
I'm gonna express an unpopular opinion in this world, right?
Yes.
Okay. Cooperative multitasking has really gotten an undeserved bad reputation.
I completely agree.
Like, it is ridiculously predictable. Yes, it requires more work on the programmer's part.
Yes.
But it is ridiculously predictable, which the one thing I love about it is that no longer does GC seem like magic, right?
Yes.
It's not magic. I understand how it works. I know exactly when it's going to trigger, and I can code in accordance with this. And yep. So while in behavior, GC also like excites me for Pony, because now when people come in and they try to write their initial programs that do something really big inside of like,
it'll just work.
Main or whatever, it will work. At the same time, there's part of me which is really sad about the fact that like I will no longer be able to easily reason about what's going on with garbage in like programs that I write, which don't trigger those scenarios where you'd want like in.
You know, I think that's a really interesting point, and I think if we kept if that argues pretty strongly for having a runtime flag for turning off in behavior GC, so that you can just run without it. Not even a compile time option, just like one of the GC tweak options that you can specify on the command line for any program.
That's
a really good point.
That could be a thing there. I mean, like one of the things that I like about Pony is that that once you learn the basic rules of how things work, it's easy to reason about what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes me happy, except in certain areas. Work stealing is not easy to reason about. I mean, it's easy to reason about the basic algorithm, but it's hard to reason about what's actually happening, if you know what I mean.
I do indeed. Oh, I just realized I'm late for a thing.
Okay. Well, we're at the end anyway. So thank you everyone for coming. We have still more issues to get through next time. So next time will be issues and PRs again. And then maybe we get back to RFCs in sometime. So,
all right,
y'all. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, y'all. Bye.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Thanks.